From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott.
You are absolutely superb, beautiful lineup. Thank you very much. May I have the beagle?
Yes, the beagle!
Sound there from the 2008 Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, when the top prize of Best in Show was awarded to Uno, a statuesque beagle. On Monday, Westminster kicks off its 136th contest in front of a packed house at New York's Madison Square Garden and no shortage of bemused TV watchers. Many are mystified by competitive dog handling. While prepping for this segment, we here at Word of Mouth realize that the bulk of our show dog knowledge stems from the mockumentary Best in Show, directed by Christopher Guest.
What do you see in front of me? What do you see in front of me? You see a big blue ribbon. It's right here in front of you. You want it? You come and you grab it. You get it.
She's not listening to you. She's nervous. She's freaking out.
Well, get the busy bee. You want your busy bee? You get your busy bee.
You get the busy bee. I need to trim her whiskers.
Michael Hitchcock and Parker Posey there as neurotic dog handlers Meg and Hamilton Swan. Here to expand on the amusing stereotypes is Josh Dean, author of Show Dog, The Charmed Life and Trying Times of a Near-Perfect Purebred. It's out this month from It Books. He joins us now from Argo Studios in New York. Josh, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Josh, you're a dog person, or at least your publicity packet says so. Were you familiar with the show dog circuit?
Only in as much as you were. I mean, the bulk of my knowledge honestly came from Best in Show too. I would watch Westminster most every year just because I like watching cute dogs run around in a circle, but I didn't really know what was going on. And Best in Show turned out to be, it's obviously a mockumentary, but as one breeder told me, it's almost too close to reality.
Mm. You spent a year alongside Jack, an Australian Shepherd, and a rising star. What made him the dog to follow for you to find out more about this dog show universe?
You know, I had the idea and was determined to do this book, but I was almost paralyzed by the idea of choosing one particular dog because at that moment there were 168 breeds. All of them had great dogs. I was like, how could you possibly choose one? Mm. But I befriended a handler team out in Pennsylvania, husband and wife, named Heather Bremer and Kevin Bednar. And they handled the kind of dogs I liked, which were sporting dogs and herding dogs and sort of athletic, energetic, bigger, mid, medium to large size dogs, and I went out to a show, and Jack just sort of chose me.
Well, we read about Jack's story in the book, and the eccentric and really fascinating, sometimes treacherous, behind the grooming stand look at the show circuit. Now, first, the dog handlers and owners can be in thousands of shows across the country and the world each year. So, what does that involve for them?
It's unbelievable. I mean, these people are really underappreciated. I think when people hear that there's this culture of professional dog handlers, like, oh, that's what kind of joke of a job is that? But these are people who are almost never home. There's dog shows 50 to 52 weeks a year. Sometimes these shows run from Wednesday to Sunday, sometimes Thursday to Sunday. They have to travel between destinations. I mean, Heather and Kevin, the couple that I followed, they may be home some months, 2 days. And when they're on the road, they are up at sunrise with dogs because at a given weekend, a successful handler team or a solo handler will have somewhere between 8 and 20 dogs under their care. Each of those dogs needs to be walked and watered and fed and exercised and groomed and primped and trained. And it's really almost they barely have time to eat meals, honestly. It's an incredibly arduous job.
And these temp cities of, you know, RVs and minivans, people reading publications like the Lhasa Apso Reporter, Schnauzer Shorts, and Chin Chin Chats. You also write about, you know, a kind of the curated selection of T-shirt slogans observed at dog shows. Any favorites come to mind right offhand?
I mean, all the wiener dog T-shirts are funny. That's kind of an easy pun.
Uh-huh. But, I loved dog hair, the other condiment.
Yeah, dog show people revel in kind of the filth and they seem to appreciate the dogs are dogs and the hair and the drool and the excrement. It's all like a joke and part of the fun to them.
Well, that's part of the question for me. I mean, let's pull back the curtain a little bit on the dog show. I've always wondered how handlers make sure that the dog actually does its business before the show.
Yeah, there's an art to that. I mean, some of it is managing their intake so that you can manage what comes out. Mm-hmm. Dogs can be trained to do anything. I mean, they were a human invention. They like to make us happy. And one of those things is at least mostly learning to go to the bathroom on command or on schedule, which is not to say that there aren't accidents. Accidents are a hazard of the dog show world, and it's even happened at Westminster under the lights.
Can any purebred become a show dog?
Technically, yes. Any dog that's registered in the AKC stud book can participate. That said, breeders will probably, your average good breeder, and I should say, you know, the first thing you want to do is contact a breed club and find a responsible breeder. But they'll look at a litter usually and be able to tell fairly early which dogs are quote-unquote show quality and which are pet quality. And what happens, and this is what happened to the woman who bought Jack, if you buy a dog that's deemed show quality, then that breeder may require you to sign a contract that says you will show the dog long enough to achieve its championship, which is the CH in mm-hmm. front of its name, because that basically says judges have deemed this dog to be of great quality. That enhances that breeder's breeding program. And that's the idea, that every dog in the breeding program is, you know, near perfect or perfect. So then the owner will have to go out and show it, at least make, you know, a college effort to try it, you know, the old effort to close the championship. It might not always happen, but you're supposed to try.
We're talking about show dogs, handlers, and the spectacle that is the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, which kicks off on Monday. Our guest is Josh Dean. He's a journalist and author of Show Dog, The Charmed Life and Trying Times of a Near-Perfect Purebred. Well, what kind of money do handlers make? I mean, you're talking about a lot of output and a lot of effort. What's the payback?
They make fairly good money. I mean, at the top levels, well into the six figures. You know, I think a start... It's probably a tough job to break into. You'd have trouble just showing up and hanging your shingle and hoping to get business. It's kind of an old school trade in that you almost always apprentice under another handler, and often for free. But once you start to get clientele and you prove that you're the kind of handler that prepares dogs well, you win shows. You're making, you know, for a dog that's yours all the time out at every show, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 per month per dog. There are day use dogs that just you can pay a handler just to handle your dog for a day, and that's mm-hmm. usually $80 to $100 plus fees.
Well, and they're very high stakes shows. There's a lot of strategy that you write about, a lot of tension, a lot of setbacks, and cheating. Now, what does it mean to cheat in a dog show?
Well, there's the really what it means to cheat is any alteration of the dog. I mean, the AKC rule book says that you're not supposed to alter the appearance. So the dog should look, in theory, like it's supposed to look if it weren't touched by humans. So you can wash and dry it. But that said, go to a dog show and everyone is using hairspray. You know, hairspray and chalk would be the two most common things that really are permitted. And a judge is allowed to dismiss you from the ring if, say, he pats the side of the dog and white chalk dust sprays out. So usually handlers are pretty good about putting chalk in so that it doesn't reveal itself.
They can't use hairspray?
You're not supposed to. But, yeah, I mean, look at a Bichon or look at a poodle. I mean, mm-hmm. these are dogs that are hairsprayed like the cast of Jersey Shore. I mean, unbelievably poofed out. So it's really like it's a rule that no one honors. That said, there is cheating. I mean, they're on the bad side. You'll have surgeries to if a tail doesn't set itself quite right, they can clip muscle in the tail. You'll see prosthetics put into ears to make them stick up. Prosthetic testicles even in dogs, because dogs have to be fully intact, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
In England, there's a big problem with dying dogs. So poodles, especially black poodles, tend to gray as they get older. And now at Crufts, the big show, they've started actually hair testing dogs to be sure they're not dyed.
Wow. Reality TV shows, they're now about pageant moms, you know, with toddlers spray tanned and in full-blown makeup. They're getting a lot of attention from watch groups as a form of abuse. Is there any kind of protest groups eyeing dog shows for abuse?
PETA seems to show up at Westminster every so often, but you know, their issues are a little unclear. I mean, they're to some degree against pedigree dogs in general. I mean, certainly puppy mills have given purebreds a bad name. Puppy mills are horrible, but responsible breeders are actually doing a very good job to maintain healthy breed stocks. I think there's a perception that dogs are like being used as our playthings and that they're not enjoying what's going on. I actually have a chapter about do dogs enjoy dog shows, and I talked to some dog psychologists and people who study behavior. What most people will tell you is that dogs want to make people happy. Dogs like to play games and be given jobs, and a dog show is really either a game or a job. And if the dog does its job correctly, it gets praise and treats and love, and it gets to spend all day with other dogs. So I didn't get any sense that these dogs weren't having fun, which isn't to say that there probably aren't some bad handlers who mistreat dogs, and if that's the case, then that's terrible. But the people I spent time around treated the dogs really well. The dogs seemed very happy. The owners seemed very happy. I mean, they don't like losing, but The nice thing is the dogs don't care if they lose.
The most wins by a group at Westminster has gone to terriers so far, 45 wins. Now, the next group, sporting dogs, have only 19. Is there a bias among judges?
It certainly seems that terriers and then poodles, which are not, would come out of the non-sporting group, are the breeds that tend to do best. But that probably has a little bit to do with judge preference. It probably has more to do with the fact that poodles and terriers have a stage presence that a lot of other breeds do not. They seem to like to perform under the lights, and there's a little bit of an unpredictability about them that I think judges want to see personality, because at the end of the day, the 10 or 12 or 15 or 7 in best in show dogs in front of a judge are all pretty close to perfect. So the judge has to find the one thing that's going to make one of those dogs stand out, and personality is often that thing.
Well, it might be dispiriting for other dog owners. But, Josh, we want to thank you for a little bit of an insider's view. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Always happy to talk about dogs.
Josh Dean, author of Show Dog, The Charmed Life and Trying Times of a Near-Perfect Purebred. There are links to his book and much more on the Westminster Kennel Club show. That's kicking off next week. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. And we'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts on puppies, purebreds, pampering, and dog shows. Is it good, clean fun, or something else entirely? Coming up, Rick Santorum supporters are celebrating his come-from-behind wins in 3 states yesterday. So, too, are the people behind Santorum's signature sweater vest. That story when Word of Mouth continues.